Well, joining me is Democratic political commentator Dick Batchelor. Dick, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Also joined by Republican political analyst Frank Torres. Frank, thanks for joining us as well.
Great to be here.
This is a question I want to ask both of you. And Frank, we're going to start with you. We're at the midpoint or just over the midpoint of the legislative session. What are you watching right now?
Well, I'm watching all that. I don't want to go ahead and preview too far ahead about what we're talking about, but I'm going to be watching a lot of the things we're going to be hitting here in a couple of seconds. I'm also checking out how the session is operating in the backdrop of this pandemic recovery with vaccinations going on, statistics going up and down, and all the local counties also trying to implement their own measures to fight the pandemic. I think it's definitely a session unlike we've seen ever before, and there are a lot of things flying under the radar that we might not be aware of, which is an especially good reason why we're talking about everything today.
Mm-hmm. Dick Batchelor, aside from the bills making headlines, anything kind of piquing your interest at this point in the legislative session?
Yeah, I think overall, you know, DeSantis has certainly asserted himself in the budget process. The budget in the House and Senate are about $2 billion apart. One's about 97, one's about $95 billion. I guess some differences, but I think overall it's the most radical legislature I have seen. If you look at the public records law, they're passing all kind of legislation to keep public records from the public. They're passing legislation that will make it illegal for you to give somebody a bottle of water who's standing in line to vote. It's just really some radical departure from what I would call strict constructionist Republicans. They've become really kind of radical Republicans. And last, I'll use the example they're basically going after Google and all mm-hmm. the formats of basically say, hey, you were not good. You weren't not nice to then President Trump when he, on January the 6th, they initiated an insurrection. So they're just really going beyond what I would call a traditional conservative Republican, economic conservative Republican, traditional strict constructionist, and they've gotten really radical, in my opinion.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the fine details. One bill we're looking at closely, which is garnering a lot of headlines, is the bill combating public disorder. It's also known as the riot bill. What it does, defines a riot, increases penalties for crimes committed during that kind of riot, creates a process for state attorneys to challenge budget reductions to law enforcement, among other things. So if this bill becomes law, there could be some implications for how it's enforced. I want to just play a little bit of sound, though. Here's Maxwell Frost. He's the National Organizing Director for March for Our Lives. Now, he says that Governor DeSantis himself was pointing out the relative calm of Florida's protests last summer. And he says this bill is nothing more than an attack on the right to protest.
And so it's interesting because when it comes to defending his record, Florida's perfect. There's no looting. But when he wants to pass this bill, which they call it an anti-riot bill, but let's be honest, it's an anti-protest bill. It's an anti-First Amendment bill, and it's meant to scare people from going out and speaking up. There's a mandatory minimum of 6 months. It expands standing ground to the point where you can get killed for being in front of a business during a protest. And so there's a lot of different things that in this bill that are meant to criminalize and demonize protesting.
So that's Maxwell Frost with March for Our Lives talking there about the difference between Governor Ron DeSantis and his explanation of how Florida responded to the nationwide protest, saying that things were pretty calm by and large, and then proposing this legislation, which was, of course, picked up by lawmakers. Let's hear a little more from Maxwell Frost, his concerns about this particular bill.
We already saw that we had hundreds of folks get arrested over the Black Lives Matter uprising here in Florida for almost doing nothing. I saw a young man get arrested for crossing the street, spent a night in jail. I got arrested for walking to my car. I spent a night in jail. So these laws are already in place that criminalize protesting. What this is it's taking it a step further.
As a counterpoint to that, here's State Representative Randy Fine. He's a Republican from Melbourne Beach. He's a co-sponsor of the bill, and here's why he says it's an important and needed piece of legislation.
Political violence in support of a cause is never acceptable, and this bill protects the rights of people to exercise their First Amendment and protects them from those who would choose to loot or act in otherwise violent ways.
And Representative Fine also rejects the argument that this bill is a crackdown on free speech.
I would encourage them to read the bill. There's nothing in the bill that clamps down on free speech, except in case quite the opposite. We are coming down hard on quote unquote mostly peaceful protesters, which they like to call themselves, in order to protect the actual peaceful protesters. No one wants to take that right away in the legislature. We can't. It's in the First Amendment. But no one has the right to be violent.
All right. So quite a bit to unpack there. Frank Torres, what sort of do you hear hearing both sides of that argument? First, Maxwell Frost from March for Our Lives saying this is essentially clamping down on free speech, and then Representative Randy Fine saying that is absolutely not the case. How do those two readings of this bill stack up in your mind?
Well, I think they're both taking this legislation and politicizing it to an even higher degree. I mean, the truth is, goodness, 9 out of 10, heck, 9.5 out of 10 protesters are perfectly peaceful. And they show up, they know the drill, they march, they get their message out, and they go home. But unfortunately, there is that small element which has been unable to be controlled by certain groups, really on both sides, that just don't know how to behave. And it poses a significant risk to our law enforcement and certain businesses. Now, most protests are nonviolent, and if those people participating in those protests remain nonviolent, then they don't have anything to worry about. But I certainly don't see anything wrong with taking the extra measures to protect businesses and people in the community. But really, I think it's just a bill that in previous years would have been mostly for show. But because of the environment we're in these days with all the protests that have taken place over the last few years, I've just sort of seen the volume turned all the way up on it.
On the other side of that, Dick Batchelor, one of the concerns we are hearing from opponents is that this bill particularly will be or could be used to directly target communities of colour. So there's more than just clamp down on free speech, which opponents say this bill does. They're also saying this would disproportionately affect communities of colour. Your thoughts on that?
First of all, I think Representative Fine should take a little bit of time off and read the Constitution. What he said was just totally just not right. In fact, why have the bill? There are a lot of provisions in this bill that are already against the law. Law enforcement has the tools to enforce it. I'm not in favor of riots. We didn't have any riots in Florida. We had some protests in Florida that were by large margin very peaceful. What this is about is the optics for presidential election with Governor DeSantis. He's taken issues like going after the social media platforms and pushing back on free speech. He's pretending there was some right in the state of Florida and passing this kind of legislation. This is all about the optics for him running for president. You know, 2 years, 3 years down the road is what this legislation is about. And what I would love to see as a final note, I'd love to see someone take this legislation, superimpose it on January the 6th and the insurrection of the Capitol to see how many of the Proud Boys would be not the Proud Boys now because they all be locked up, but for more serious crimes than they're going to be charged with. So you've got to be very careful. Again, to Frank's point, I don't have a problem having laws that basically allow people and actually encourage people to protest, First Amendment right to be exercised, but obviously it has to be peaceful. You can't destroy property. No one's in favor of destroying property. And by the way, no one's in favor, I know, of the Democratic Party of defunding the police, which is another theme this is about. Democrats are not in support of defunding the police. Now, we would like to redirect some of the money for early intervention, juvenile diversion programs, things like that. But no one's in favor of defunding. But those are the kind of call words. Those are the dog whistles you're hearing coming from DeSantis because it's all about optics for the presidential run in 3 years.